Good morning, everyone. Gemach Sima Tova. Welcome back to the new year. We're going to continue a discussion we started earlier about Tamei HaMitzvos and maybe finish it up this time or maybe one more time. Last couple shiurim we talked about morality and mitzvos or morality and halacha. And I want to go back to Tamei HaMitzvos. The opening shiurim on Tamei HaMitzvos were about the reasons for mitzvos generally. What we're going to talk about today is the reasons for particular mitzvos. In other words, should we seek to try to understand reasons for mitzvos? Is that a good idea or not? And I want to begin, if you have the new Mar Makomos, you could download them, with a couple of quotes from the Rav in Lonely Man of Faith. And the Rav over here is critiquing the approach of modern practical man, or Adam II, and his desire, his need to understand why he's doing what he's doing. Modern man, the Rav notes, has the approach of why should I do this if I don't understand why? It has to make sense. It has to make sense to me. And the Rav basically writes over here that this approach is the opposite outlook as the approach of the man of faith, or Adam II. What I said before, I think I said Adam I, but I meant, I said Adam II, but I meant Adam I. We're not going to go through the basics of Lonely Man of Faith, the way the Rav beautifully contrasts and compares the two creation narratives in Bereishis Perek Aleph versus Beis, and how they reflect two types of people. As I imagine you're all well aware of that. But I just want to look at, for a moment, how the Rav is addressing this particular point. So the attitude of practical man, of Adam I, is, as I said, very different than the attitude of the man of faith, or Adam II. The religious act, which is defined by purity, becomes tainted when subjected to the practical lens of utilitarian society. In other words, the idea that we always have to understand to the extent possible is foreign to the man of faith. So let's take a look at the first quote over here. How staggering this incompatibility is. The unique message speaks of defeat instead of success, of accepting a higher call, accepting a higher will instead of commanding, of giving instead of conquering, of retreating instead of advancing, of acting irrationally instead of being always reasonable. Here, the tragic contemporary majestic man rejects his dialectical assignment. With it, the man of faith. So let's try to understand this a little bit. First of all, this is very much in keeping with the idea that we saw in the previous year about the need to be mevatel yourself. But here it's in a different realm. It's in a realm of asiyas mitzvos. I guess that is in the sense the same realm. And he's pointing out that this need that everything should be rational is foreign to the man of faith. And again, this is also in keeping with what we talked about last time, which is the notion that emuna means doing things that we don't understand. And that's why he's called the man of faith, the man of emuna. So what the Rav over here is saying is that looking for Tamei HaMitzvos is to take scientific tools and apply them to the religious act. And that's not the right approach. That's not the right tools. It's seeking to conquer instead of submit. It's trying to translate that which is untranslatable. And take a look at the next quote over here. The untranslatability of the complete faith experience is not due, he says, basically to its weakness, but to its grandeur. In other words, The fact that I can't explain it isn't a chisaron, adarabba, that's a maila. If I were to be able to explain everything, so then it wouldn't be a religious system, and it would be no better than that which I could come up with on my own. And this is more from the beginning of the book, the next quote. When asked to explain the reasons for mitzvos, so the man of faith basically says, what have I to say to a functional utilitarian society which is saculum oriented and whose practical reasons of the mind have long ago supplanted the sensitive reasons of the heart? Right? In other words, the modern man sort of gave up trying to look at things through the heart and just is very practical. It's very practical. So if we were to stop here, we would say that, you know, Tami and Mitzos aren't a very good thing. They reflect the wrong attitude towards Torah. Tami and Mitzvos cheapen the act. But we know that's not at all true. First of all, the whole purpose or part of the purpose of Lonely Man of Faith is to highlight that we're not just meant to be that man of faith. We're not just meant to be Adam too. As he puts it later on, you know, we have a dialectical assignment. What does he mean by a dialectical assignment? It means that we have to embrace both. We have to be that man of faith and we have to be that man of science. We have to be Adam one, we have to be Adam two. And even though it's true that these two approaches seem to contradict each other, how could you be both? They'd serve different attitudes and outlooks. We're meant to be both. It's actually sort of interesting now that I'm thinking about this presentation in The Lonely Man of Faith, because these descriptions of modern man are in a sense very out of date. Not very out of date, but somewhat out of date. You know, a lot has changed in the world since the summer of 1965, when The Lonely Man of Faith was first published in Tradition. I think nowadays, many young people are happy to embrace the mystery and are repulsed by the attempt to systematize and organize things. For them, we could argue that maybe the purpose of Tami and Mitzvos actually does the opposite. It helps ground them from just everything, you know, floating away. Either way, I think what the Rav here is pointing out in terms of Tami and Mitzvos, and we'll now try to see this idea in Chazal, the Rishonim, and the Achronim, that there's a certain type of tension. On the one hand, we want to understand that which we do, and that's fundamentally a good thing. On the other hand, we have to treat mitzvos, which are the Dvar Hashem, differently than we treat everything else. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Me'ilah, as we'll see in a moment, that on the one hand, we should try to understand Tami and mitzvos. On the other hand, we have to relate to mitzvos differently than we relate to anything secular. When it comes to things that are secular, if we don't understand them, then there's no reason why we would do them for the most part. Not so when it comes to mitzvos. But when it comes to mitzvos, it's even more than that, because we want to, even if we can understand them, there's this element of embracing the mystery. So having considered that hakdama, let's go back to some of the basic sources. Is this a good idea? Should we try to understand Tami and mitzvos? I mean, for the most part, the Torah itself does not give reasons for mitzvos. Perhaps sometimes we somewhat do. You know, for Shabbos, it says, Ki sheshesh yamim asa Hashem asa shemayim v'asa aretz. Or for Tzitzis, we say, Leman tizkeru v'asisem eskol mitzvosai, and the like for Sukkah, for Tefillin. But for the most part, the Torah does not tell us why we're doing these mitzvos. And while some of the time, in the case of Mishpatim, there's a very clear-cut, understandable reason, an intuitive reason for the mitzvah, for many others, for most chukim, the Torah does not tell us why we're doing it. I mean, we don't understand anything about, let's say, the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And as we'll see, the Ramban pointed out, and the reason why Asir Lazazel in particular is considered a chok, it's not just that we don't understand it, but there's this paradoxical element to it. There's even an aspect to it which seems antithetical to the themes of Torah, and so far as it almost seems like we're giving a carbon Lazazel. So the Torah doesn't tell us the reasons. Maybe that would indicate that we shouldn't try to figure them out. We should sort of take the approach of Adam 2, like the Rav said, and admit defeat and just embrace the mystery. Any act, any attempt to figure it out would cheapen the act. So there's a Gemara in Pesachim over here that you have next. It's a Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. And the Gemara implies that this isn't the case. It's a very interesting Gemara. I'm not going to read it inside, I think, now, because it's I want to keep moving. But the Gemara over here says there are certain things that are hidden, and they're meant to remain hidden, like the secrets of the Torah. The Rashbam here explains it's referring to Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava. But then, so someone who reveals those secrets is acting inappropriately. But then there's another type of an idea that the Torah hid, but we're meant to discover and reveal. And that's Tamei HaMitzvos. That's what the Gemara is saying, right? V'kada amriza megala dvarim shekisa atik yomin, mainihu Tamei Torah. And those are things that we're meant to reveal. We find, certainly, that Chazal occasionally, though not generally, do tell us reasons for mitzvos, and even mitzvos I think we would categorize as a chok. Here you have one example from Nida Lamed Aleph and Mibes. Reb Meir says, "Mipnei ma amra Torah Nida l'shiva, mipnei shiragil ba v'katzpa amra Torah tehei temeya shivas yamim kidei shitei chaviva al baila kishas knisas l'chopa." So here Reb Meir is telling us that the reason for the Torah's prohibition upon Nida is to rekindle marital excitement and intimacy. It's interesting, is this dafka Reb Meir Shita, as the Tarsa Shlamim suggests at the beginning of Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, or perhaps not? So maybe we'll get back to that question a little bit later. But here we have an example, Pasha Pshat, of Chazal telling us Tamei HaMitzvos, and seemingly that would suggest that this is an appropriate thing to do. The Rambam certainly holds that way. The next source from end of Hilchos Meila, Ra'ui la'adam lesbonim b'mishpatei Torah Kedoshah, v'leida sof inyanam kefi kolcho. So it's Ra'ui to learn, look for Tamei HaMitzvos, understand them to the extent possible. And Ra'ui, I think I heard from Rav Twersky once, should be translated as a person should do it. It's not just saying it's fitting. If you look at the places where the Rambam uses the term Ra'ui, it's clear this is something that the Rambam is encouraging. It's something that one should do. Again, you have to be careful about treating mitzvos reverentially. He compares this to the mitzvah of me'ilah. If you don't treat mitzvos reverentially, it's ki'ilu your mo'el. So we have to be careful about how we go about tamei mitzvos. But nevertheless, fundamentally, the Rambam certainly thinks that it's ra'ui to search for them. And not just the Rambam, the Sefer Chinuch, for example, also gives tamim for all mitzvos. Again, of course, the approach of the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch to tamim mitzvos is certainly very different. The Chidah points out that the Rambam was the first to systematically offer tamim mitzvos in the Shem Gedolim. But one way or the other, it's certainly the Rambam held that this is something that we sanction. Now, one important thing to remember when doing so is that we have to be very wary of judging mitzvos. Rav Hirsch in Chorev offers reasons for mitzvos as well. But he writes that when offering reasons, we are not judging. Sometimes when you offer reason for a mitzvah, you're basically saying, yeah, you know, the applicability of this mitzvah is rooted in the reason for the mitzvah, as though we are the arbiters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And Rav Hirsch emphasizes that human intellect is limited. There's no such thing, the way he puts it, as sovereign reason. And our loyalty to mitzvahs don't depend on our ability to understand them, but they're nevertheless enhanced. And he compares it to the attitude of Nasa and Ishma. We first agree to do the mitzvahs, and then we could try to understand their reasons and the like. Along similar lines, this might be what the Tars Kohanim is saying, the famous Tars Kohanim, that a person shouldn't say, right, Minayin shelo yomar adam iafshi lobo shatnez iafshi lobo lachol basar chazir iafshi lavo al ha'erva. Aval efshi uma esesh avi shabat shaman gazar alai. Talmud lomar v'adil eschem min ha'amim lios li. Shetehavdal laschem mehem l'shmi v'lo midas atzmachem. Nimtza parshman aveiro mekabal av malchus shaman. So you could understand this two ways. One way to understand this medrash is actually it's telling us you shouldn't look for tamei mitzvahs, right? You shouldn't say, I don't want to eat chazir because it's disgusting or because it's unhealthy or whatever it is, whatever reason I come up with. No, I should do it l'shem shemayim, and I shouldn't look for the reasons. But for those who embrace the pursuit of tamei mitzvahs, so what this would presumably mean is a person, even after they've discovered the reason for the mitzvah, even if they understand why the Torah prohibited X, Y, and Z, they shouldn't say the reason why I'm not doing X, Y, and Z is because yefshi, because it's wrong, it's harmful, it's hurtful, it's bad, but rather, shetehavdalas chemehem lishmi. And once that's true, once your havdalah is lishmi, so then memela, your makabel schar for it. Because you're doing it not just because it makes sense, but because Hashem determined that's the case. The Rambam, actually, in Shmona Praka, in Perek Vav, is Mechalik. He explains that this Medrash is only talking about Chukim, not Mishpatim. Maybe we'll get back to that idea of the Rambam. Another point that we should stress, again, before maybe going into some of the more details, is that when we're talking about Tamei HaMitzvos, we're suggesting one of many reasons. We're not explaining everything. We're not explaining the only reason, but we're suggesting a dimension. And this is an idea that the Sefer HaChinuch, the Ralbag, and others stress. And just take a look at one formulation of this. This is from the Rambam. Ramban, I mean, in Shmos Perek Chaf. So the Ramban writes, lemitzvos Hashem tamim rabim b'chol achas. So every mitzvah is many tamim. Yesh b'chol achas to'alos rabos l'guf l'nefesh. There are many to'alos l'guf l'nefesh, in other words, referring to the mila in terms of the physical world, or the physical body, as well as the spiritual things. And one of the interesting things that the Ramban does frequently is he explains Tamei HaMitzvos al pi pshat and drash and sod, kedarko bakodesh. In other words, just like you can look at a pasuk and, you know, say, okay, al pi pshat, this is what the pasuk's saying, and al pi drash and al pi sod, this is what the pasuk's saying, and we believe that all of those have value. So the same thing when it comes to mitzvos. Just to give an example of that in this week's parsha, so we have the mitzvah of Hakel. And the pasuk says that who should come to Hakel? Anashim, nashim, v'taf. Right? Men, women, and children. So what's the point of children coming? And what type of children are we talking about? So the Ramban says something interesting. He's saying the pashat in the pasuk is that the children that we're discussing in the parsha are not infants. After all, what purpose is there in bringing infants to Hakel? What are they going to gain from it? They're just, you know, little babies in the stroller. So it means young children. And the point is that the young children, while they might not fully appreciate hearing the king's message, maybe they don't understand Sefer Dvarim, but going up, they'll ask, they'll see, they'll witness, they'll wonder, they'll remember. There's value to that as well. That's sort of an experiential component to chinuch, and that's what it means to bring the children. But we're not talking about infants. So then he says, that's al pi pshat. Then he says, but Chazal say differently. Chazal seem to say that we're talking about little babies. The Gemara says, why are they brought? So to give schar l'mevi'eihem. Okay, maybe there's also an experiential component like that as well, like the Yerushalmi about bringing the baby into the Beis Medrash. But one way or the other, the point is that the Ramban goes ahead and he hears a mitzvah. In this case, he's explaining not the purpose of the mitzvah, but a purpose of a detail of the mitzvah. And what's interesting, by the way, is that he's giving tamei ha-mitzvos, like I said, both based off of, it's not that the tam is pshat and a sod tam and a pshat tam. He does that also, like we saw by Shiluach HaKain. He tells you what is the tam al pi pshat of the mitzvah. He said over there, the tam al pi pshat is to prevent us from becoming achzarim, from becoming cruel people. So if we were to snatch the eggs out from under the mother, we would become cruel people. That's the tam al pi pshat. And if you look over there, we didn't read it inside, but if you look over there at the end of that Ramban, he goes ahead and he gives a tam al pi sod. So there he's giving two reasons for the mitzvah, pi pshat and al pi sod. Over here, what's even more fascinating is he's saying that this al pi pshat tath means young children, and there could be an explanation for that. And al pi sod, and not pi drash, al pi chazal, the pasuk means something else, and we could give a reason for that as well. So there's value in explaining the mitzvah al pi pshat, even though the halacha doesn't follow pshat, right? This is an idea the Ramban has in many places. And again, it's very striking if you think about it, because you might have thought like, well, since the halacha l'maisa obviously follows the drash, so what's the point in giving a tam al pi pshat? In other words, a tam that explains the pshuto shel mikra. He does this, for example, give one other example, in Parshas Tzav. So the pasuk says that when it comes to menachos, so the simple reading of the pasuk is that a minchas, machvas, and marcheshes go to the kohen hamakriv, and a minchas solas or minchas chote are shared among all the kohanim. That's the pshuto shel mikra. So he says, what's the pshat in that? What's the tam of the mitzvah? What's the tam of the mitzvah if the mitzvah is explained by the pshuto shel mikra? The answer is because the machvas and the marcheshes are a lot of work. So whoever is the kohen hamakriv should be entitled to it because he worked hard to make it. Whereas the minchas solas, minchas chote, that's like very easy. There's not much that the kohen actually has to do because you're not making it into loaves. You're just doing kmitza when it's still flour. So therefore, mimela, that should be divided up by all the kohanim. But then he says, however, Chazal tell us, no, they interpret the pasuk differently. They understand that all the menachos are equally divided always. And he says, okay, so I'll tell you the reason for that. The reason for that is shalom bayis. In other words, the idea, very important, yesod of shalom bayis, which is that there's no shalom if everybody's always insisting on what they're entitled to. So taka, it's right. The kohen hamakriv of the machbas and marcheshes has a taina, like I worked hard to make this, so I should really be entitled to the shirayim. That's a good taina. Shalom bayis says, no, you know, you can't always insist on what you're entitled to. If you want there to be shalom, you have to share even the things that you could make the argument really are coming to you. So what do you see the Ramban doing? An extraordinary thing in terms of tam and mitzvos. Again, it's not just that he explains, oh, this is the reason, like by Shiluach HaKain, he says, this is the reason for the mitzvah al pi pshat, and this is the reason al pi sod. Here, what he's doing is saying, the mitzvah al pi pshat, meaning to say that pshuto shel mikra indicates that all menachos are equally divided, and I'm going to tell you the reason for that. And then, al pi drash, and this is, of course, the halacha maisa, the Torah is saying something else. Sorry, the al pi pshat, they're not equally divided. Al pi pshat, when it's hard work, you're entitled to it. And then he says, al pi drash, the pasuk saying something else, and I'll tell you the pshat that way. So it's a tremendous chiddush. Again, same type of thing as what he does over here by Hakel, that that there's a value of looking at the reasons even for the pasuk al pipshat. And that's of course because if the Torah wrote it in this particular way, then that's for a reason. And even if the halacha doesn't correspond to that formulation, but we still have to study it because there's a reason why the Torah wrote it that way. And we have to derive a lesson from it, right? It's not like when Chazal interpret a pasuk al pidrash, now we throw out the pshat. Sometimes there might even be halacha lemaisa application, but even if there's not a halacha lemaisa application, the very fact that the Torah formulated it as it did is indicative of the fact that the Torah wanted us to understand it in that way. And therefore, even in a realm of taya mitzvos, we have to do it. Now, I put over here a very interesting piece for you from Shirei Das. Shirei Das is a beautiful sefer written by Rabbi Yosef Leif Bloch. I don't think he wrote it. I think his Talmidim wrote up his Shmuzin. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz in the beginning of the 20th century, in Telz in Europe. I think he became the Rosh Yeshiva in 1910. And these were his Musar Shmuzin. So the Talmidim wrote it up. It's called Shirei Das. But if you learn them, they're very, very fascinating. I wouldn't say they're conventional Musar Shmuzin. Like the name implies, there's shiurim on das, on hashkafa, on philosophy. They're practical on the one hand, but they're also very deep. So he has a piece over here in which he argues that, you know, people make a mistake that when you have tamei mitzvos al pi pshat, and let's say al pi sod, so how do you look at sod? So sometimes we look at sod as like the deeper interpretation. It's chachmas ha'emes, right? So this is like the deeper, the truer understanding, in which case you would think that once you understand the tam al pi sod, so there's no value in understanding the tam al pi pshat. And he says that's not true. For example, just like we saw in the Ramban, in Shiloh HaKein, where he goes ahead and he tells you the tam al pi pshat and the tam al pi sod. Obviously, he thought that there's value in studying both. Otherwise, he wouldn't bother with the tam al pi pshat. Moreover, he argues that there is an underlying unity here. And, you know, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So while sometimes we can't understand it, sometimes we don't really perceive it, you know, Lamasha, like we said before, by Shiluach HaKein. If we look at the reasons al pi pshat and the reasons al pi sod, so they seem like very different reasons. In that case, the poskim actually point out that there even seems to be a nafgamina between the tam al pi pshat and tam al pi sod. For example, in the case of Shiluach HaKein, you know, the common shaila comes up, should you do it if you don't really have any need for the eggs? Right, nowadays, nobody's going to eat pigeon eggs, you know, from pigeons in Washington Heights. So what do you do if a pigeon, you know, builds a nest on your windowsill? Should you do Shiloh HaKein or not? You're not going to eat the eggs. They're gross. Should you do it anyway? Well, if you look at the tam al pi pshat, I would say certainly not. Whether you learn it like the Rambam, that it's because of compassion for the animal, or for the Ramban, it's so that we don't become Asarian. So clearly, there would be no reason to do this if you don't need the eggs, adirab, if anything, that would be undermining the purpose of the mitzvah. On the other hand, if you look at the tam al pi sod, the Ramban's tam, or it's more a little more slightly different and a little more clear in Rabbeinu Bachya's pshat, according to the Zohar, you'd say adirab. There is a maila. You're going to elicit divine compassion upon Bnei Yisrael by doing the mitzvah, even though you have no need for the eggs. Seems like a stira. Well, what do we do? So one question is, what do you do halach lemaisa about that? And the post can discuss it. But ultimately, you know, I think our approach to this, assuming, you know, if we have a resolution, like he says, so then we have a resolution. And And he says in Shir Hadas, if you really understood the reasons, you'd see that there is no stira. You don't get the impression from the Ramban and Shiloh HaKen that he saw them as a stira. But until you do, so it's sort of like we saw before in the Rav, you need to accept your dialectical assignment and be okay with these two differing perspectives and believe that ultimately, you know, they are kulan me'ro'a achas nitnu. There is a unity. Sometimes we could perceive the unity, sometimes we can't. But either way, there's value in studying both. Another perhaps reflection of this idea that the Ramban has of mitzvos having multiple reasons appears in the next source, his famous comments on the Karbanos of the Nesiim in Parshas Naso. So the Ramban famously asks, you know, why do we need the Torah to repeat all 12 Karbanos of the 12 Nesiim? It's the same thing again and again. You know, why does Parshas Naso have to be so long? And his answer is that kol echad me'an Nesiim alba lahavi lamizbeach lahavi chanukah lamizbeach v'shiya b'zashir. So each one of the 12 Nesiim had a different thing in mind when they brought their Karban, even though they happened to all be exactly the same, right? So this is incredible, right? 12 identical things, and nevertheless, there was a unique Kavana for each one. Kishem Shepartufehem Shonim. Each of us can see, can find, can discover a different mitzvos in different reasons for different mitzvos. Okay, so I'm going to skip some of these marukomos because I want to get to a very important point, which is like this. Just skipping down. Let's try to identify, assuming that you think that one should search for tamei mitzvos. So let's try to identify why we do it. I mean, we said before, it's nice to know what you're doing. And I think we could give three reasons, three different purposes for why we look for tamei mitzvos. And your approach to looking for tamei mitzvos will be different according to all three of these approaches. So the first reason is more intellectual, maybe even inspirational, that Hashem told us to do something. Let's try to understand why. It helps us to understand why mitzvos, how they achieve their goal. It might motivate us to want to do them if we understand why we're doing them. We'll be more excited about doing the mitzvos. So that's the first reason. I think that if you look, for example, at the Rambam's reasons in Moreh Nevuchim, and the Rambam obviously thought this was very important. The Rambam spends 25 chapters in Chelek Gimel of the Moreh, discussing tamei mitzvos. I think that the purpose, according to the Rambam, we're going to tweak this point later. We're going to later try to discover a secret purpose of the Rambam's tamei mitzvos. But the pashup shot in the Rambam's tamei mitzvos is the more you understand, the better. So you understand the system, you're better off. I think that's sort of an intellectual approach to tamei mitzvos. The second approach is very different, that when we perform a mitzvah that we understand, then that act becomes much more meaningful. And it's very different. The Rambam's tamei mitzvahs don't necessarily make the act any more meaningful. You'll have some understanding. Like I said, it's an intellectual approach, but it doesn't add meaning necessarily to the asiyas ha-mitzvah. But another reason, obviously a much more chashuv reason for understanding tamei mitzvot, is because when you understand why you're doing something, it becomes more meaningful. If you take a look at the Me'iri that we have over here, you'll see this is what the Me'iri calls the inyan of the mitzvah, but sometimes called tamei mitzvos, sometimes called the inyan of the mitzvah. So if you search down on your Marmakomo sheets to where you have the Me'iri, we'll see where it says Beis Abachir LeMe'iri Balakama Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So let's take a look at these two, and then we have the Hakdama of the Me'iri. So let's read these together and try to understand what the Me'iri is saying. And again, I think there's an idea you'll see in other Rishonim as well. So he says, "Mi shiyesh alav mitzvah v'talmud Torah." Imaya mitzvah overes, yakdim le mitzvah, v'achar kach le talmud. V'im hayu me mitzvah she'en shaitan overes, im hu tzarech lomod, yakdim le talmud. Okay, so this is a very famous halacha. We all know that, there's a general principle of osik b'mitzvah, patim na mitzvah, but when it comes to Talmud Torah, that's not as straightforward. We say if it's a mitzvah overes, so then you should stop learning to do the mitzvah. But if it's not a mitzvah overes, you should continue learning. So the first part of the halacha, we don't fully say osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah for Talmud Torah, because if it's a mitzvah overes, we talk a stop learning to do the mitzvah. So why is that? So he says like this. But otherwise, you should keep on learning and keep on learning, and you'll get to the mitzvah later. Shatalmud miyafe es hamitzvah umashlimo, the mitzvah mehuderes yoster, kishiyotzeis mipi hayodea inyana. Meaning to say, when I learn about a mitzvah, when I understand a mitzvah, when I'm yodea inyan hamitzvah, so then it's a mehuder dika mitzvah. It's almost like hider mitzvah, right? Doing a mitzvah that you understand why you're doing it, that you understand the idea. You understand the halachos, but not just understanding the halachos for a practical reason, so you get it right. But you understand your yodea inyana, so that's a much more mehuder fulfillment of the mitzvah. So tamei mitzvah is like a form of hider mitzvah. Your asiyas mitzvah will be much more profound, much more meaningful if you understand why you're doing it. He goes even further. In the next source, this is from his Hakdama to the Beis HaBechira. And he writes like this. He writes that, we could have these two attitudes towards mitzvos. So he writes, I'll just read from the beginning. Kol zeh, harel adam shizbonim, bizmanim ayuchadim, ma hi sibas his yachdam, uma hayom yomayim, right? Very relevant. Halacha Maisa for today. People were not being misorer in tshuva at a time that it's appropriate, like in a sara or like a seres yimei tshuva. So even though every day is a day where we should really do tshuva, im kol zeh, roi l'sora la tachlis ha'ara b'esem yuchad la derech klal. Ratzalomar, yimei tshuva. However, there's a particular time where it's particularly pressing. V'chein ito satzara, whether it's a seris yimei tshuva, whether it's an eis tzara, v'zman ha'chol yam, yimei azikna, u'kshi yagia adam le'elu azmanim, v'lo yichadish ba'atzmo tchuna lis'orer, v'ma sh'roi lis'orer bahem. Avikaimo sa derech pu'ulas, hayachas me'halashon, mitzvah melumada, me'bli shizbonin binin ha'mitzvah, Lo yimashich lo min ha-mitzvah ha-hi, ma shekiven nos na yisbarach, yimashich mimena. Nimtza machti akavana. So let's say you go, you come Rosh Hashanah, and you fulfill the mitzvah, you hear a shofar blowing. But you're not thinking about the inyan of the mitzvah. So then, the goal, the purpose of tkiyah shofar won't be achieved, right? This is an amazing thing. If you do the mitzvos, the blishi is bonin binyan mitzvah without thinking about it. So then, lo yimashich lo min ha-mitzvah ha-hi mashik even notzim la-yisbarach. You're not going to get whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind with this mitzvah. You're not going to get it. You'll be technically speaking yotzei the mitzvah, but you're not going to get out of it what you're supposed to get out of it. If you go and, you know, you sit in the sukkah, but you don't think ki basukos oshavti es bnei Yisrael b'otzios ha-meretz Mitzrayim. So you're not going to get out of that mitzvah what you're supposed to get out of the mitzvah. Leaving aside the diak of the bach, that may be that type of kavanas ma'akeh. Forget that. I'm just saying, this is true for all mitzvahs, he's saying. If we do the mitzvahs without understanding why we're doing it, the goal of the mitzvah is not going to be accomplished. Later on, where it's bolded, he compares this, kedimyon hachamor nose alumosa be'es hakatzir, umasah navim be'es habatzir, umasah chitim be'es hatchina. In other words, this is donkey. And the donkey, so, you know, the donkey in grape season carries grapes, and in peach season carries peaches, and in wheat season carries wheat. And, you know, clapping the donkey, so there's no difference. You know, all he's doing is he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's pulling, right? The donkey doesn't know, doesn't care what's in his wagon. So if we go ahead and we do mitzvos without being mizbonein binyanam, so we're doing the same thing. We're just doing mitzvos without actually like thinking about what we're doing. So what do we need to do? If we want to get what we're supposed to get out of the mitzvos, we have to be mizbonein binyanam. And tami and mitzvos are a big part of it. So this is very different than the first approach we said to why we would seek tami and mitzvos. The first approach is, you know, it's an intellectual pursuit. If you have an understanding of the system, it's valuable. Here we're saying, if you want to fully get out of what you're supposed to get out of the mitzvah, you have to understand why you're doing it. Let's give a mashal over here. The famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. So Ramban writes about why there are so many mitzvos that are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says a remarkable thing. He says, you know, if a person goes ahead and he puts a on his doorpost and he thinks about why he's doing it. So even though scissors aren't so cheap anymore, but in the times of the Ramban, it seems like they were pretty cheap, right? So he goes ahead and he does this simple act, right? And look at his lashon. You have it over here. It's so important, right? Ki akon mezuzah b'zuzachat, v'kava b'pischo, v'niskaven b'nyana. And he thinks about the inyan of the mezuzah, which is not, it's not just, oh, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm putting, it's not mitzvah shrichas kavana, maybe yes, maybe no. But for mitzvah shrichas kavana, all you need is, you know, you're mechaven to do the mitzvah. That's not enough. Like the Ramban says, you need to be miskavin b'inyana. Like, what is this mezuzah representing? So if you do that, so then what? Kfar hod b'chiddush ha'olam, uv'yediyas ha'borei, v'hashkachaso, v'gam b'nevuah, v'hamin b'chol pinos ha'torah, milvad, shehod shechesed ha'borei, gadol me'od, alozi ritzono, shehotzionu me'ozo avdus l'cheros, Kavod gadol is chus avoseihem kachafet zibir shemo. So you go ahead, you put up this mezuzah, and you think about not just l'shem mitzvah mezuzah, but you think about why am I putting up a mezuzah. So if you do, you'll think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yetzias Mitzrayim will tell you about chiddush, tell you about the truth of nevuah. It'll tell you about the truth of hashkacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that He's involved in the world, that He runs the world, that he talks to people about the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in Klal Yisrael by redeeming them. You'll think about all those things. It's very interesting because, as I think the Brisker Rav pointed out, you know, it's not obvious what mezuzahs have anything to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. But for one reason or another, Ramban assumes it does. And Ramban says that you go ahead, you do that mitzvah, and you're again miskavin binyana, very similar lashon to what we saw in the Meiri. So it's a totally different mitzvah, a totally different mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah with just the kavana of the shem mitzvah, Hashem told me to do it, I'm doing it, versus being miskavin binyana, it's a totally different mitzvah. And that is why doing, understanding the reasons for mitzvahs and the ideas behind the mitzvahs is so, so fundamental. It's a totally, totally different asiya if you do it in a thoughtful way than if you just do it without thinking about what you're doing and why you're doing it. To give a little different mashal, you know. So let's imagine, we'll leave the mashal aside. I think it's pretty straightforward. So that's the second reason to study Taneiha Mitzvos. The third reason to study Taneiha Mitzvos is apologetics. What do I mean by apologetics? That there are people and they're skeptical about mitzvah observance. And if you go ahead and you tell them, you know, look at the reason why Torah told us to do this, look at the beauty of this mitzvah. So that might help them come close to Torah mitzvahs. If you take a look at certain svarim, like the Kuzari and the Ibn Ezra, you have examples both over here. That seems to be the approach that they're taking to Taneiha Mitzvos. So if we look at the Kuzari, he writes, this is from Maimer Sheni, Kvar amarti l'cha she'ein erech bein sechlenu uvein ha'inyan ha'eloki. Right? Really, there's no shtaychus between whatever we could come up with and whatever our Kodesh Baruch Hu had in mind when he gave us this mitzvah. V'roi shelo nitrach levakish ilas gives a reason for tzaras. What's he saying? He's saying, look, be'emsin, like, I shouldn't be giving a time for this reason. I should say, look, tzaras is a chok. It reflects Ratzon Hashem, there's certainly a reason for it, and it's totally beyond me. But because it seems, you know, he needs to apologize, right? Bebakashas mechila. Maybe this is the reason, but it almost sounds like, in an ideal world, I wouldn't be giving reasons for mitzvos. Also, later on over there in the Kuzari. There he's talking about karbanos and the like, right? Ve'ena nitoen ve'omer bechleit chalil li mekel ki kavanas havoda hazos hi haseder hazeh asher amarti lehepach al nachon elam hadavar v'na'ale mizeh. Really, whatever the reason is, it's much greater than any explanation that I gave. Omer ani toras halokim hi umi shekibla b'tmimas b'li his pal plus uvelihis chakmas meula who mina mischakim b'chayker, right? Someone who just goes ahead and says, you know, why do I do it? Because Hashem said, and surely there's a reason that's beyond my ability to understand. So that's meula. That's the better approach. Ach misha nata mina madrega ha'elyona hazos el ha'mechkar. But if you're going to have to, you know, you're not holding by that. You feel like you need some type of explanation. Right? So better, you know, he should at least, you know, have something. Right? So, MS, you're better off, you know, if you're Shalem and you're Amuna, don't read this next section. It's better that you stay, stay the way you are. But if you're going to be looking for Tamei HaMitzvos anyway, so, you know, read what I have to say, because it's better than the other Narshkeit that's out there. So that's the that's what the Kuzari writes. Now, it could be that it's Machlekes over here, and the Kuzari's approach to Tamei HaMitzvos is negative, and the Rambam is positive. It could also be that, you know, it depends what type of tamim you're offering and what type of mitzvos you're offering. Some type of tamei mitzvos really do sound like apologetics. And we're much better off, sort of like we talked about in the previous weeks, saying, I don't know, than giving a shvach reason. Okay? But sometimes people are unhappy with, you know, saying, I don't know. So you give them a shvach reason. Whereas other times, adarabba, if the reason is really good, then we would. In fact, the Ritva in his Sefer HaZikaron, which I gave you a sum of later on in the sheets. The Sefer HaZikaron is a defense of the Rambam from the Ramban's critiques. In other words, a defense of the Rambam on Avuchim for the most part. And he suggests, and we're going to get back to this a little bit later, but he suggests that even the Rambam, who gives all sorts of reasons for Tamei HaMitzvos, including sociological and biological and historical reasons, he didn't think those were the main reasons. They were partial explanations that were valuable to respond to the heretics who basically denied any wisdom or truth in mitzvos. So they're valuable. But they're not the whole story, right? The Lashon of the Sefer Zikaron over there is Kilo me'asher ya'amin hu shehu ikar tama mitzvahi. He's responding to the Ramban. It's not like the Ramban thought that the Rambam's reason for Karbanos was the ikar reason. Ella shiratza lases, meaning the Rambam wanted to give, k'tzas tam bohem, a shtickle tam, ad shafilu hamon shabo, yeda lahashiv bohem, gam apikars, vidvarm sichlim k'tzas. So people ask us, and we could at least, you know, dama lahashiv lapikars. But that was the goal. There's a very interesting back and forth between the Chassam Sofer and the Maariv Tzchias. Maariv Tzchias wrote a very fascinating work called Taras Nevi'im. And the Chassam Sofer wrote a letter to him about this work. It's the very end of the Chassam Sofer. It's a Siman Reish Ches in Chelek Aleph. And he writes also, the Chassam Sofer writes, that the Rambam's goals in offering the reasons for mitzvos was lahashket lev ha'adyotim, right? Which basically means to appease the ignorant. The way the Chassam Sofer says, we're going to suggest a different mahalich, I guess, next time. But the way the Chassam Sofer says it is that, you know, the Rambam's true understanding was the reason for Karbanos is what he says at the end of the Chos Milah, that it's a chayk. But lahashket lev hadyotos, he gave the reasons that he gave in Marnevu. What we could call the third reason for Tamei HaMitzvos, apologetics, to respond to contemporary challenges and the like. The Rav Hirsch writes in 19 letters, that 19 letters is a correspondence between Rav Hirsch and somebody studying in university. And Rav Hirsch sort of writes about his dilemma in terms of offering Tamei HaMitzvos, and especially giving reasons that are trying to satisfy the types of questioners that were around in 19th century Germany. you know, his dilemma in trying to rehabilitate Judaism by writing about Tamei HaMitzvot. So he writes, "There are worries to be weighed. Might I not cause harm instead of helping? And suppose my attempts fail, will not those who would gladly do away with the cause for which I am living use my abortive efforts to strangle this cause entirely? See here," they'll gloat, "some entirely new attempts to rehabilitate Judaism, total failure." Right? What happens? You go ahead and you give a reason. And then there's they ask Kashas on the reasons. Well, you'll be better off just not saying anything, just saying we don't know. There are, as such, those who oppose Tamei HaMitzvot. Some oppose the Rambam of Tamei HaMitzvot. Some oppose offering Tamei HaMitzvot in general. The Maharal writes that there's a flaw, certainly, in those who don't know why we do particular mitzvot. It's unreasonable to expect to understand why you do mitzvot. I mean, he points that even in the scientific world, there are all sorts of phenomena we can't explain. So the assumption that we should be able to explain the reason for every single mitzvah is patently absurd. And therefore, he's very cautious about the approach to Tamei HaMitzvot. Maybe we could even find support to oppose searching for Tamei HaMitzvot in Chazal, the Gemara. Skip down a little bit to Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph on the base. Mipnei Malay Nizgala Tamei Torah. Why did the Torah not give the reasons for mitzvot? Sherei, Shtei Nekraos Nizgala Taimam, Nechshal Bam Gadol Olam. Shenemar b'malach v'lo yir b'lo nashim v'lo yasa levavo v'amar shlomo ani agav v'lo asur v'chziv v'hi leis zikna shlomo nashav hito es levavo v'chein v'lo yar v'lo susim v'lo yashiv zalm mitzrayma ani arbe v'lo yashiv v'chziv v'teitzim herkava mitzrayim v'sheish chulei. So what happened? Why didn't the Torah give us the reasons for mitzvot? Because look, there are two mitzvot where the Torah told us the reasons, and someone as great as Shlomo was nechshav because of those reasons. He said, okay, those reasons don't apply to me. And of course they did, and he was Nechshal. So if you oppose the approach to studying Tamei HaMitzvot, then you have a right from here that it's wrong. Those, of course, who seek Tamei HaMitzvot, so what would they say? How would they explain this this passage? This is very simple, as the Marsha actually points out, that this is a reason why the Torah isn't Megala Tamei HaMitzvot. Because if the Torah said the reason was for the mitzvah was X, so then a person would reasonably say, well, that reason isn't applicable to me. So the mitzvah isn't applicable to me, as Shlomo did. It's wrong, but there's a havamina. It's a reasonable thing to say. But when it comes to the Tamei HaMitzvot that we make up, so then there's no reasonable person would ever say, well, this is the reason for the mitzvah, and therefore the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore because it's not applicable to me. Why wouldn't you say that? Because if you're honest, you're saying, I'm making up this reason, right? Any reason I give is speculative. Torah doesn't say the reason, so I'm speculating. So only a fool would speculate about a mitzvah's reason and then say, that doesn't apply to me. So therefore, the danger is not the same. It's not to say nobody would do it. Some people are foolish. But a wise person wouldn't make that error. But if the Torah gave us the reasons for the mitzvah, so then it's more reasonable to go ahead and say, oh, so that reason doesn't apply to me. And that's the great danger. So that's the reason why, for the most part, the Torah does not reveal Tamei HaMitzvot. Okay, I guess I'll take Binyamin's question. I see your hand is up. And what we'll do, we'll have one more shiur on this topic, and I think then we should really move on. So that will be after Yantif. And what I want to do in the final shiur is talk about the Rambam's Tamei HaMitzvot, and which, of course, engendered great controversy. In fact, perhaps one of the most controversial aspects of Maran Avulchan was the Rambam's Tamei HaMitzvot. And we're going to try to really understand what the Rambam is doing and how he might respond to some of those critiques. I think there's a great secret over here, but you'll have to come back next time to find out the secret. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos and a Gemar Simatov, a good Ben Shtiar, and Be'ez Hashem will pick up next time. Binyamin.
Hi, Rabbi. I hope this isn't too far field or creates like a much bigger topic, but isn't the Rabbi Shimon being Dorish Tamid Dikra sort of against this Marsha? Meaning, I understand how they're different in the sense that Rabbi Shimon doesn't do away with an entire mitzvah, like he'll limit the mitzvah based on his own tam. But if the Marsha is right, mm-hmm. that people who give like human, you know, understandable intellectual svaras won't, they shouldn't limit the mitzvah either, right? They should have enough humility to say that they...
Yeah, it's a very good question. So I would say a couple of things. We have to understand about what types of things we would be Dorish Taima Dikra. Maybe we'll talk about this a little more next time. Good point. And I think that even the types of Taima Dikra that Rabbi Shimon would suggest are very different than this of speculative Tamiya Mitzvos that the Rambam or the Sefer HaChinuch or the like give. And that's the reason why Rabbi Shimon thinks that we could actually use the Tam Mikra to determine the parameters of the mitzvah, to determine its halacha. For example, again, let's compare, since we referred to Karbanos with that, right? So the purpose of Karbanos is because of the idolatrous inclinations of the Jews leaving Egypt. So that's a very different type of reason than saying that the mitzvah of Lo Yachbol Beged Almana doesn't apply to an Aniya Almana Ashira and only to an Almana Aniya. One is a much more I would say, legal type of reason as opposed to a speculative philosophical type of reason. Your har is still good. In other words, it's correct. There is that danger, but I don't think that Rabbi Shimon would be Dorish Taima Dikra about the types of philosophical reasons. Now, I had a har on this, maybe what seemed to me Akasha, but now I don't have this kasha anymore, so I'll share it with you, especially since the Chevra, a lot of you guys are learning Nida. So there's a fascinating Taras HaShlamim in the beginning. I alluded to it before, at the beginning of Siman Kof Pei Gimel. The Taras HaShlamim says like this. We quoted before the Gemara, the Remeir says, Mipnei ma asra Nida l'shiva, shaliyah ragel ba v'katzpa. So the Taras says, okay, it's good. Now, if you would have asked me, I would have said, it's pashut that type of mitzvah, that type of tam, is only relevant as a, you know, what we could call tam al pidrush, right? Tamei mitzvos. But it would never be a legal argument. In other words, even if you hold that we are darshin on time of the crop, you would never think that a reason like that would determine the parameters. L'lamasha, let's say, according to Rabbi Shimon, if he accepted Remeir's reasoning, so would he say that if a husband, he was away out of town for 6 months and he comes home and his wife's a nida, but obviously the reason for the mitzvah is irrelevant because there's going to be plenty of excitement. So, so it's mutter for her to be with her when she's a nida. Right? So therefore, we would never have such a havni. That's what I would have said. And in fact, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, when he quotes that reason, he makes that exact point. He says that this is a very type of, it's a tam al pidrush, but it's not, it's a homiletical reason for a mitzvah. And again, we when according to those who are Darish Taima Dikra, they're not Darish Taima Dikra on homiletical reasons. They're Darish Taima Dikra more on legal reasons. That's what I would have thought. But the Taras HaShlamim, L'chora, says I'm wrong. Because the Taras HaShlamim says, in the second answer over there, he says, you know what? He says, really, Reb Meir, who said that, he's going like Reb Shimon, the Darish Taima Dikra. And therefore, according to Reb Meir, maybe there's going to be no Iser Nida for a Pnuya. Why? Because what's the whole purpose of the mitzvah? to increase excitement in Natasha Shemitah. Well, she's not married. We don't want to do that. So therefore, it'd be no issa. And he says, but it happens to be, we don't paskin that way. We paskin that there is an issa nida for pnuya because we paskin lo darshin in time of the kra. So clearly, the Tosfos Shamim is saying against me. But then, read it a little more carefully. And it's not quite that he's saying that, because he argues that that tam of the mitzvah actually is not just that Reb Meir sort of looked at the mitzvah from the outside and tried to suggest, what's the reason for the mitzvah? And this is what he came up with. It wasn't just a speculative reason that isn't rooted in the details of the law, but he argues that it was actually a very precise reason. How so? So he says, very interesting point. He says, if you look in the Torah, so there's two types of tuma or tara. You know, one is basically more or less immediate. Somebody goes to the mikvah or does some type of act of purification, and then they're tahor, or maybe you have to wait to have a shemesh, but there's no delay. And then we have other types where there's a 7-day delay. So tumas aveis is a more chum or tuma, 7-day delay. And similar things by tzaras and the like. In other words, in these more chum or dikatumas, you do the process, or at least you begin the process, but the tara isn't achieved for 7 days. Okay, so we have models in the Torah of both. So he says, so let's look at Nida for a second. Again, we're talking about the dindarais of Nida. So the dindarais of Nida doesn't fit into either model. Because what, on the one hand, let's say she has one drop of Nida blood, so she still can't go to the mikveh for 7 days. Sounds like it's the more chamor type. But the halacha is also that if she's bleeding for 7 days straight, when she stops on that 7th day, you know, the night that follows, she can go to the mikveh and shine. She's muteras. There's no need for delay. In other words, the 7-day period is not like all the other 7-day waiting periods. The 7-day period is the 7-day period. There's no gap whatsoever. There's no gap. In other words, she bleeds on day 7, and she stops bleeding on day 7, on the night that follows, she goes to the mikveh. So he says, clearly, then, it can't be that the pshat is that the reason for this isser is rooted in a tumah. Because if it was rooted in a tumah, then it would have to be that there's a, if it's a chamodika tumah, then there'd have to be a 7-day period after she's complete, right? And so in the rules of tumah, it doesn't fit into either category. It's not the low type of tumah where on the day that you encounter the tumah, you could still go to the mikvah and be mutter. It's not low level tumah. It's not high level tumah. It's neither. So therefore, we have to look for a different explanation, right? And that's where he comes up with this idea, shetolote katzba, that you have to, it's really all about there being a 7-day period of delay. So therefore, it doesn't matter. If it's one drop of blood, she has to wait 7 days. Or if she's bleeding 7 days straight, it's 7 days. And therefore, that's how Reb Meir came up with the idea. In other words, what I'm saying is that, or I think what Tosfos Shamim is saying is that if you're going to go ahead and apply a mitzvah, apply the rules of time of dekra, it can't just be this sort of speculative suggestion coming from the outside, you know, just like looking at the mitzvahs. It has to be legal. And that is why the concern that you raised is, I wouldn't say it's not a concern, but it's less of a concern. So what we're basically suggesting is to say that there's two types of reasons that you could get for mitzvahs. There are speculative, philosophical type reasons, and nobody would say about those. So there's no concern that a person, reasonable person, will go ahead and say, well, you know, the speculative reason that I came up with doesn't really apply anymore, so the mitzvah doesn't apply. And that's why lo nisgala tam a mitzvah. Then there's a second type, which is more legalistic. and inherent and rooted in the halachos, more rigorous about those. So then Rabbi Shimon says, Darshin on Taima Dekra. And even though we actually say Lo Darshin on Taima Dekra, there are, maybe we'll talk about this next time also, see if we have time. There are all sorts of reasons where we do actually, though we're not Darsh Taima Dekra, but we seem to be doing something very similar, what we call this, right? Where we're suggesting a gather of the mitzvah. And not only that, but based on that gather that we're suggesting, we're applying the parameters in the mitzvah. You know, everybody says briskers don't ask why. They just ask why. But they ask why all the time. They just, is a what. But the pshat is that it's a different type of why. Ravan Lichtenstein put it as, in a flow Darshin and Taima Dekra, we do that. So there's obviously a difference between a mandam or Darshin and Taima Dekra and low Darshin and Taima Dekra, how far we're willing to go. But in the end of the day, even those types of reasons, I think, are fundamentally different than the type of philosophical, homiletical types of reasons where nobody reasonable would suggest that they would affect the parameters. So that's maybe an answer to your question.
Okay, thanks so much.
Okay. All right. Gemach Simatova, good Shabbos.
Thanks, Rabbi. Maybe Rabbi can ask a question?
Please.
Hi. The other Rishonim, besides the Maharsha, would we say that those Shitas, would they say that Tamei HaMitzvos is speculative also, or they would say that this is like the reason?
Sorry? No, I think everybody would say, if we don't have a Masorah for it, then it's speculative, right? And if you look, for example, emphasizes that the reasons that he's giving are speculative and they're not definitive. And even if they're true, they're only one facet of the mitzvah.
Mm. So, so is it just for like a psychological thing that like we just want the mitzvah to kind of sit well with us? And then like that's
no, I think that the reason we outlined three reasons for Tamei HaMitzvos. And they're all true. The first is respect for the system and intellectual curiosity. The third is apologetics. Neither of those are as fundamental, but the middle reason is still true, which is that having an idea about why you're doing something makes the Asiyas HaMitzvah so much more meaningful.
But if it's not like the real reason, like LPMS, does that still have an impact?
Not that we're saying that it's false. Just because we are not confident enough to paskin halacha l'maaseh based off of that reason doesn't mean it's false. Just like we talked about in the previous year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a seichel, and the Torah has tremendous trust in our seichel. So it's not the pshat that when we speculate, yes, they're speculative. Speculative doesn't mean that we think they're false.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that we acknowledge that we're making this up and we might be wrong, right? But that's okay. In other words, all the time we go ahead and speculate about things. I tell you to do something, I don't tell you why. And you speculate, oh, probably the reason why I said it is because of X, Y, and Z. So that's okay. That's good. You just, because you're speculating, you're aware that you might be wrong. But that doesn't mean that there isn't tremendous value in doing it. So there is value. So when I say, but you're not confident, there's no concern that you're going to go ahead and say, oh, well, it doesn't apply to me, or less of a concern, because you acknowledge that you're speculating. So if we thought that the reasons that we're giving are false, so then you're right, then there's no point in it. Or maybe at most, it's just apologetics, like we saw the Kuzari say.
Right.
But I don't think that's our approach. I think the reason why we think it's valuable, why it's Ra'u'il Lizbonin, is because we think that there is value in the suggestions that we give, but there's also an awareness that these are just suggestions and we might be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay, Shkaya, thanks so much, Rabbi.
Really appreciate okay, it. My pleasure, Shkaya.
Unbelievable, thanks so much. Have a great Shabbat.
Thank you. Thank you.